Mayan. Mayan.
Thank you, Ailey, for your welcome hello and your lovely smile. Ailey and her mum, Shannon, are part of our church Tots and Teas group, an active part. And it's great that Ailey's been able to give us this warm welcome today. Thank you, Ailey, and may God bless you. Welcome to everybody to this service. I'm David Locke, the minister of Banff and King Edward churches that you can see behind me. And of course, it's Jesus and all that he offers us that we seek to share, even in part today. So I hope you gain something of his goodness, his help, his strength from any moment of this service that we're sharing together. Last week, we thought about some of the trials of Jacob and how he came through. He still had some of his weaknesses and they affected his family. Today, we're going to be thinking about weaknesses and trials and problems, a bit more about pain in life and how we cope with it. I was thinking about this partly because I've been reading my son's fairy story books, and it's amazing the amount of real horror in them. Wolves eating babies, Little Red Riding Hood and her grandmother getting eaten, the gingerbread boy getting eaten. There's so much pain in some of these stories, and yet they're loved around the world. I'm tending to shy away from the painful bits, but am I wrong? Should we be opening up and letting our children, like generations before us, encounter in a nice way, in a comfortable way, some of the world's realities? I'm just putting it as a question, because when I look at the Bible, I see it's full of pain, but when I was reading my son's children's Bible, there was no pain. Daniel in the lion's den was surrounded by lovely, fluffy lions. Goliath didn't get killed, he just fell down. And Jesus never died. Are we missing out on telling our children and helping them in the right way if we don't address the pain that our historical fairy stories and nursery rhymes have? So today we're thinking about pain a little bit more and how we should deal with it with the help of three stories from the Bible. A blind man who gets his sight, a woman in slavery who's released, but the people who do it are thrown into jail. But first, it's the story of Joseph that you may remember, who was spoilt as a boy, and then his brothers got jealous because of his dreams of his lordship, and they threw him into a deep, dark pit. But then they decide to sell him into slavery, and he gets taken and sold as a slave in Egypt. And then he somehow interprets the king's, the Pharaoh's dreams, telling him about a forthcoming famine to come. So Joseph ends up in charge of the government to ensure that people have enough food to eat. And in time, his own family comes to him begging for food. They don't recognize him. How will Joseph treat them at that point? That's where we start and pick up the story, as we read now from the book of Genesis, chapter 45 and chapter 50.
Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. much later, his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
And so, finally, after all the pain that Joseph suffered, all the humiliations that his family suffered, all the grief, there's reconciliation and fresh hope. Joseph sums it up by seeing that somehow, through it all, God was working things for good. Even at their darkest times, God was with them, as he can be with us. Ultimately, Joseph had changed from being an upstart trying to show off how great he was to being someone who could see that his real strength, his real wisdom, his real compassion came from God. God is making us the people we can be, even through this harsh world we live in, if we're open to him. So in our stories from the Bible, we can see real life issues that can help us today. Lessons for bringing up modern families, overcoming life's difficulties, serving others, forgiving, and seeking God's plan to bring good out of difficulties. And at chapter 50, Joseph summed it up in those famous words, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Yes, pain, but also restoration from our inner sinfulness being overcome. Good out of bad is possible. The power of forgiveness can lift us all up, as Nelson Mandela showed in his life in South Africa, and emphasised how good forgiveness is, how real it is. He said, "As I walked out the door towards the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. Forgiveness liberates the soul. And it can still be at work today, as can God's healing power." So we sing now, or just listen to the hymn, "We cannot measure how you heal," to the tune, "Ye Banks and Braes." Let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come before you and talk to you and listen to you wherever we are. You are our God and we are your people. And so, loving God, meet with us now. Hear our cries, hear our fears, our worries, and meet with us. Help us learn from our Bible readings today, lessons for our lives. Help us not be the selfish sort of person that Joseph originally was, or the jealous people that the brothers were. Help us be more like the person Joseph became, the forgiving person, the caring person, the person who helped others. And so through our trials, help us remain open to your guidance. Whatever's going on, help us listen for your word of comfort, your word of challenge, your word of hope, and journey with us. Some of us will face particular difficulties in the week to come, and we really do ask you to help us. Whatever we face, help us be open to your guidance and your wisdom. And hear us as we sum up our prayers once again in the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second Bible reading comes from the time of Jesus, when Jesus encounters a man who was blind from birth and helps him. Here we have a second type of pain we all may encounter at some point, not due to human weakness or evil, but seemingly just the way nature works. So we hear now from John's Gospel, chapter 9.
As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed, and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." Later, Jesus heard that the religious leaders had thrown the man out of the synagogue, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind."
Some people ask, was this the man's own fault? And sometimes when we're ill, if we take too much of a substance or something, it can be our own fault, or sometimes it can be due to others spreading a virus. But this is part of life, that we do suffer illness and sickness. In a world that's evolutionary, that's still developing, there is sickness, there is sadness. It's part of life. Just as there are still famines, as under Joseph's time. We cannot blame God or humans for what happens always. As with the virus, there are many things we could do better to overcome problems through science and medicine and people sharing, but sometimes there is just something that affects people badly. Why doesn't God intervene? Well, occasionally he does miraculously, as in the case of the blind man, but most of the time it seems he allows us to have freedom rather than be controlled robots. And God allows an evolutionary world to develop so that in time his light can shine out. And the man responds by trusting in Jesus out of this situation and physically seeing anew and understanding anew, something the religious rulers of the day were not willing to do. It's the story of the hymn Amazing Grace, how John Newton, an evil slave trader, was in peril at sea, and out of that peril good came because he turned to God who rescued him, and Newton worked for the abolition of slavery. Lives can be changed out of pain, as in this case and our previous story. Pain through natural disaster or disease, but in God, ways forward can be found through human effort, through sharing and help from Jesus, and by combating false understandings that condemn the man. It's grace of God at work in the way the world is. And the man says, "I was blind, but now I see." A hymn written in pain was the one we're about to hear, written by George Matheson. The hymn was written by George on the evening of his sister's marriage. His whole family had gone to the wedding and had left him alone. He recalls some of life's real trials that he's faced, when he'd been engaged until his fiancée learned he was going blind and abandoned him. He went blind while studying for the ministry of the church. He was a brilliant student until he made some mistakes and was publicly criticized, but he kept going despite growing blindness, preaching before large crowds. And it was his sister who was his one companion, but now she was married, and who would care for him in his blindness? He despaired, and out of his despair came this hymn in the midst of it all, "O love that wilt not let me go." And he says in it, "I trace the rainbow in the rain and feel God's promise is not in vain." We listen to it now.
My heart restores its borrowed ray.
When you're down in life, maybe let rainbows remind you of hope of better times to come. You can't have the beauty of the rainbow without rain. It has to be the mixture of sun and rain to make a rainbow. And just maybe that points us to life. Pain and hope and beauty go together somehow in this evolutionary world we live in. Our next reading is later on in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and again shows us hope can be real in hard times. It's Paul in his second missionary journey. He's reached Europe and was in Philippi in Greece. Paul encountered a young woman infested by some sort of spirit that others made money out of, for she was a slave. Paul takes the evil spirit out of her, sets her free of it. And the girl who was forced to be a slave to earn money for a man who owned her is now free. Paul stood up against the evil of slavery, but is thrown into jail and beaten up by the authorities, as was his friend Silas. We hear now from Acts chapter 16 about their time in jail.
After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God, he and his whole household.
Paul freed a girl, but was put into prison and badly beaten. It's a challenge for us to act where evil is at work and not keep silent. But Paul found a way to cope. He prayed and he sang. That prison was real. You can see a picture of it as it is today. I visited it and it was harsh. Yet here they prayed and sang hymns and influenced other people. How do we respond to adversity? Do we give in or do we encourage others? How do we respond to evil? Do we stand up and do something or we just keep our heads down? With the Spirit of Jesus, we can do both. Stand up and speak up, but also find help to cope. Whatever's going on in your life, keep praying and singing. Keep worshipping online if you can. Paul and Silas suffered, but they got help and they helped even their jailer. The power of forgiveness, the power of help. The jailer was gobsmacked how these two men didn't even run away and wanted to get what they had, that inner peace and joy and strength. And he found it. He found it to help him and his family by believing Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't mean he would encounter an easy life. He wouldn't. It doesn't mean we'll encounter an easy life. We won't. But it does mean we can get new ways forward if we're open to the living power of Jesus Christ, even in the harshest of circumstances. And sometimes it's even in those very circumstances that we can share it with others. Let's pray for others at this time. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and you suffered so that we can see how goodness can come out of it. So we pray that your Spirit will touch people we know who are needing your help at this time, people struggling with poor health in this time, or people feeling trapped, imprisoned in whatever circumstances they find themselves, be it loss or sickness or loss of a job, or just gone down the wrong paths. Lord, meet with them and help them find ways forward. We pray for people who are struggling still because of this virus situation. Work again in all those who are seeking to overcome it. Be with churches as they start to explore ways that they can open up more to help people. And be with all the medical authorities who are trying to find ways forward. Guide our governments. Once again, we pray. We pray for people overseas struggling. This virus isn't just in our country. So we pray you will guide governments overseas. Living God, hear the silent prayers of our hearts for people we know that we're concerned about and for people we don't know. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. And so let me try and sum up something of what we've been talking about. Pain. I remember a Star Trek episode where kindly aliens took away all Captain Kirk's pain that he had had during his life. Kirk was, however, transformed into a selfish, nasty person who couldn't cope with anything adverse and took it out on others. Eventually, he was forced to go to the aliens and say, "Give me back my pain. I need my pain. It's made me who I am." On one of my days of the marathon walk that we're doing in this past week, I carried a large wooden cross as a reminder of what it's all about, Jesus, and how he suffered so that we can know God's love and forgiveness. It made me more aware of the struggle that he must have had carrying his cross, and yet so much good came out of his pain for us. Pain. In an evolutionary world, it's part of life, and we maybe shouldn't run away from it or even let our children not be aware of it. Of course, we've got to show them it in the right way and the right time, but our Bibles are not fluffy things without pain. They show us that there can be ways through it, and we need to address it so that we can help others. Pain because of inner selfishness, but restoration through forgiveness. Pain through natural disaster or disease, but ways forward by people helping and sharing. Pain because of society being harsh, but ways forward by us standing up for what's good and praying and singing and learning from reality. I spoke a few Sundays ago about the issue of Black Lives Matter. This week I was greatly moved by a passionate speech by the famous cricketer Michael Holding in the midst of sports commentary, who challenges us all to be open to historical and religious truth. I'd like you to listen now to just part of that cricket commentary on Sky Sports, which amazingly even turned to religion.
Education is important unless we just want to continue living the life that we are living and continue just having demonstrations every now and again and a few people saying a few things. And when I say education, I mean going back in history. What people need to understand is that this thing stems from a long time ago, hundreds of years ago. The dehumanization of the black race is where it started. And people will tell you, "Oh, that's a long time ago, get over it." No, you don't get over things like that. And the society has not gotten over something like that. As we have been brainwashed, and not just black people, white people have been brainwashed in different ways. I go back many years, think about religion. you and I are supposed to be Christians. I'm not really a very holy person, not a very religious person, but that's what we were taught. Look at Jesus Christ, the image that they give you of Jesus Christ. Pale skin, blonde hair, blue eyes. Where Jesus came from, who in that part of the world looks that way? But again, that's the brainwashing to show you this is what perfection is. This is what the image of perfection is. If you look at any plays of those days, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, he's a black man. Again, brainwashing people into thinking, oh, he's a black man. He's the bad man. Go through history, Wardy. These lights that are shining on us. You can't tell me who invented the light bulb, right? Thomas Edison, right? Everybody knows Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Thomas Edison invented a light bulb with a paper filament. It burnt out in no time at all. Can you tell me who invented the filament that makes these lights shine throughout? Nobody knows, because it's a black man. It was not taught in schools. Lewis Howard Latimer invented the carbon filament to allow lights to continue to shine. Who knows that? Everything should be taught. When you go back through the schooling as a young man, I remember my school days. I was never taught anything good about black people. And you cannot have a society that is brought up like that, both white and black, that only teach what's convenient to the teacher. History is written by the conqueror, not by those that are conquered. History is written by the people who do the harm, not by the people who get harmed. And we need to go back and teach both sides of history. And until we do that and educate the entire human race, this thing will not stop.
Maybe religion needs to keep going back to look at truth and not paint fluffy false pictures of life or of Jesus as a perfect white person, for example. He was perfect in so many ways, but he was Middle Eastern. We also need to be open to what caused slavery in our history. Look again at the truth of our society and educate ourselves and our children. We need to be open to the truths in life about pain, about how it's caused, as our stories have today highlighted. Maybe there's things that we can learn still from the old-fashioned nursery rhymes and fairy stories. Maybe in some ways they're harsh, but maybe there's a place and a way we can help our children understand life has pain and we need to address it. Pointers for us to think about. I don't know all the answers, but somehow the truth of the Bible does guide us. And the truth of Jesus can help us. We're going to finish with a hymn by Horatio Spafford, written after two major traumas in his life. The first was the Great Chicago Fire in 1871, which ruined him financially. And then 2 years later, his four children were drowned at sea. Spafford and his wife, however, went on to become missionaries, helping the poorest overseas. The hymn words speak to the eternal hope that all believers can have, no matter what pain and grief befalls us. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to see, it is well with my soul. We hear it now.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, oh.
After the benediction, we will hear again from lovely Ailey, and then you can stay on if you wish and hear Amazing Grace, My Chains Fell Off, sung by Robin Mark. But for now, may the blessing of God be with you through whatever trials you face. The love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the friendship and guidance of the Holy Spirit guard and challenge you this day and always. Amen.
Amazing
grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. The sun forbear to shine.